Lord, I ask this morning that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would grab a hold of each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would grab afresh, anew, this morning, the significance of that baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Lord, may we all take that little baby in our arms this morning. And if we haven't, may we ask Jesus in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as the song goes, this is the most wonderful time of the year. And I actually do believe that. The Christmas season is my favorite time of the year. I love it. I love to participate in all the traditions that we keep in this country. I love all the singing. I love the festivity. I love to celebrate the birth of my Savior, Jesus. And it's a great time of the year for me. But this time of the year, as you know, and if you allow it, can be the most stressful time in the year as well. As we shop for everybody on our list, get those Christmas cards out, plan festivities, prepare Christmas dinners, and decide how we're going to see all of our family members. That can be stressful. And with 4 days until Christmas, or 3 days till Christmas, 4 days, maybe you feel like you're on a mad dash to the finish line. And you're hoping that you won't forget anything. And so many details to keep in mind. I heard about a lady who had a circle of friends whom she really wanted to buy Christmas presents for. And time slipped away on her, and it was so busy at work that she wasn't able to get to the store to purchase those gifts. So time was running out, so she decided to give up on the gift idea and just buy everybody the same beautiful Christmas card. So she went to this local gift store and hurriedly went through the now picked over stack of cards and found a box of 50 cards, just exactly what she wanted. She didn't take time to read the message. She just noticed a beautiful cover on it. She thought, that's perfect. Signed all of them with my love. As New Year's came and she had time to go back to two or three cards that she didn't send from the stack, she was shocked to read the message inside. It said in a little rhyme, this Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on its way. Bomber. Guys, I want you to do a favor for me this morning, and I'm speaking to all of us, myself included. Let's let all the rush of this Christmas season go for a few minutes, shall we? Would you block all the details out of your mind? Would you just take a few moments this morning and zero in on what the true meaning of Christmas is? The baby that was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. That baby is our Savior. Unto us a child has been given, a Savior has been born. He is the one who secures our salvation. He is the one who bridges the gap between holy God and sinful man. He is the one that allows us to have a relationship with God. Let's zero in on the Savior. It's been said that the Christmas season is that time of the year that is magical. It's when wishes come true. Dreams come true. I want you to know this morning that wishes and dreams do not come true in pretty packages, trim trees, Christmas Eve snow, eggnog, or Yule logs. Though there's nothing wrong with those kinds of things, but rather I agree with the first verse of a Christmas carol that we sing. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. He who has not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree. Your wishes and your dreams will come true this Christmas season if you know Jesus. If you'll see Jesus this year. That's what you want. When Jesus, after the nativity scene where he was born in Bethlehem, when he was still a baby, his parents brought him to the temple at Jerusalem. And it was there that this old man named Simeon picked up that little baby and held him in his arms like a grandpa would a grandson. Looked that baby over, and for Simeon, looking at that baby caused all of his dreams to come true. All of his wishes were fulfilled. What an appropriate story for us to study this morning. I want your wish to come true this year too, and it only will if you see Jesus. Let's read this story. Look at verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. This is 8 days after the famous nativity scene that we think about in Christmas. But in verse 21 it says, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, that is Mary, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him, Jesus, to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and Mary marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon had a wish. He had a dream that he wanted to see fulfilled. A promise was given to him, and he was looking for the fulfillment of that promise. What was his wish? What was his dream? To see Jesus. To see the Messiah. Verse 26 says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. By the special revelation of the Holy Spirit, this old man Simeon found out that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. And he's an old man at this point. He would see the Lord's Christ. Christ meaning anointed one, the Messiah, the one who is promised in the Old Testament, the one that the world was looking for and needed so desperately. It's told him that he would see this Messiah with his own two eyes. And so I know he longed for it. And you know, as I envision this whole story, I picture Simeon knowing that the Messiah would eventually turn up at the temple one day. I envision him making daily trips to the temple, looking around. Day after day, perhaps going to the temple, looking to catch a glimpse of that child. That was his wish, his desire to see Jesus. Is that your wish this Christmas season? Do you want to see Jesus this Christmas season? It can be so hard. It can be difficult at this time of the year because things sort of get cluttered up, don't they? Could your Christmas sort of be seen like this room where you got all these bows and ribbons and lights and all this stuff, and baby Jesus is just sort of thrown in the room? And sometimes he gets lost under all the clutter. Let me tell you, bring him out front and center. Desire to see Jesus this Christmas season. That was Simeon's desire. And you know what? His wish came true. It's beautiful. In verse 27, it says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Christ to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the Messiah. He saw him with his own two eyes. What a beautiful moment that was for that man. As many of you already know, Jesus was a Jew. And he was born into the Jewish race, into the Jewish family. And that put his family under certain obligations. He was a son, so on the eighth day he was circumcised, as we read. He was also the firstborn son. So therefore his parents were obligated, after 33 days of waiting, to bring the baby Jesus to the temple and present him before the Lord and sort of dedicate him to the Lord and then offer a sacrifice. And so they've done this. Here they come with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit happens to have Simeon be there at that moment, and he gets to see Jesus. What a beautiful story. My brother and sister in Christ, listen. You can see Jesus the season. You can have that wish come true as well. If you will seek him, if you will seek him this Christmas season, you can see him. Now, you may not see him with your own two eyes like Simeon. We'll have to wait for the DVD of actual footage in heaven for that one, right? But you can see him. He'll reveal himself to you this season. How can you see Jesus? Well, you can see him in the scriptures. You can see him in the Christmas songs of worship. You can see him as the people of God gather. You can see him in the lives of people that he's changed. You can see him, and I promise you that you will if you search for him with all your heart. I know that to be true because scripture says that. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 and following, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And listen, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Listen to what it says in James chapter 4. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You might have to fight for it a little bit, brother and sister in Christ, but do it. I will see Jesus this season. My family, we're going to see Jesus this Christmas season. Will that be your attitude? If it is, you'll see him. He'll reveal himself to you. You'll see him in a fresh way. You'll see his significance. So important. Perhaps this morning, some of you are here and you've never looked at Christmas like that. You've never seen Jesus as the main event of Christmas. You've never thought about this like that. Maybe you've even sung the Christmas carols year after year and you're just sort of mouthing them. It doesn't really mean anything. You know, the other day, my kids were watching a group on TV, a kid's show, The Wiggles. Maybe you've heard it. If you're a parent of small kids, you've heard it. The Wiggles. It's like the Beatles for kids. That's how you would describe them. And they do all sorts of songs. And it was funny. They had this Christmas episode and you had these Wiggles singing Angels We Have Heard on High. And there was an octopus running around. There were dancing bears running around. Kind of a circus environment. And I just thought, that's weird. I wonder if they really even understand what they're saying. Now, something like that might be okay for a kid, but there are some adults that sing Christmas carols like that. Year after year after year, they go to the services, they do the tree thing, they do the songs, but they don't even understand the actual significance of what Christmas is all about. Perhaps you'll see Jesus like you need to this morning, and you'll understand why we sing. you understand why we worship. How does Simeon react to seeing Jesus? Well, he bursts out in praise. In verse 28, it says he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, you know, I wonder if he asked Mary permission or if he just sort of grabbed that baby. Been looking for him for so long and just cuddled him. He reacts by blessing God. And he sings this beautiful hymn, or he speaks forth this beautiful hymn. He says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. He sings, he praises. This is a song of worship. This is a hymn of praise and thanksgiving. He blessed God. He took that baby in his arms and he said, I bless you, God. I've seen him. Thank you. I worship you. I rejoice. If your wish this Christmas season is to see Jesus, you'll see Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you know what? You'll sing. You'll experience joy, just like Simeon. You'll bless God. You know, singing and praising God surrounds the birth of Christ, doesn't it? Mary, after she finds out the news, she sings a song. The angels that show up and scare those shepherds half to death, what do? They burst forth singing. Here we have another song. Someone who's seen Jesus. And we sing songs every Christmas about this time. The birth of Christ invokes joy, and it invokes singing and praise. Are you filled with joy this Christmas season? You won't be unless you see Jesus. And let us praise God for Jesus. Amen? Worship him and sing those songs. I found a beautiful little hymn that I thought was just gorgeous and so fitting. Someone wrote, praise God for Christmas. Praise him for the incarnation, for word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty night or angel choristers. I will not sing of stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men traveling distant star with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father, who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite eternal son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crimes. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in my heart. If you see Jesus, you'll praise him. This hymn that Simeon sings has also been called a salvation song. Verse 29, it says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, how is that possible? You know, when you look on a baby, many times you think, oh, how cute. And you're thrilled with how cute that new life is. Well, when Simeon, holding baby Jesus in his arms and looking upon him, he says, my eyes have now seen salvation. The person of Jesus was salvation. How could he say that? Why would he say that? How can we say that and agree with that? Well, because of what Jesus would do when he grew up. What he would accomplish. Because of what his mission was. Why he was born and what he would do when he hung on a cross. Bible says Jesus came for one reason, to be our Savior. And believe me, the human race needs saving. Bible teaches that every human being has been born into this world with sin. We're steeped in it. We're unrighteous. And that type of a person can't have a place with a holy God who is without sin, who is completely righteous. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve death and punishment. Oh, we were in a tough spot and we needed to be saved. And that's why Jesus was sent, my friend, to be our Savior. See, that baby Jesus wasn't any ordinary baby. He was God in human flesh, the mystery of the incarnation. And he grew up and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And he went to the cross. The Bible says he died in our place. He went to the cross voluntarily to die the death you and I deserved because of our sin. And though he didn't deserve it, he willingly gave himself. And the Bible says as he hung on the cross, all the sins of the world were placed on him. And he died. The judgment of God fell upon Christ on our behalf. He's a Savior, all right. And then he rose again the third day. And the Bible teaches that he's alive right now. And if you will ask him to come into your heart, you'll be forgiven of your sins. He will save you from your sins. He is salvation. In fact, you know that word Jesus? You know what it means? It's a Greek word, Iesus, that comes from a Hebrew word, Yeshua or Joshua. You know what that means in Hebrew? God is salvation. How pertinent that Jesus would be given a name, God is salvation. He is salvation. The person of Jesus secures salvation. Have you met him? It's a salvation song. You know, there are many people who never let Jesus grow up. They love baby Jesus in the manger. They like Jesus so he can sort of make their Christmas Eve special, romantical with the nativity scene. But you do understand, right, that Jesus grew up and he had a mission. And his mission was to die on a cross for our sins. One person put it like this. He said, Easter suffers from acute holiday envy. Its egg hunts and rabbit have never had the commercial appeal of Santa's bounty and eight tiny reindeer. Let's face it, cattle lowing and a baby who doesn't cry is money in the bank compared to a homeless 33-year-old dangling from a cross. I want you to understand that that's where Jesus went. That's why he was born. To hang and dangle from a cross. He's our Savior. You sing the salvation song. My eyes have seen salvation. This song has also been called a missionary hymn. In verse 30, he says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He says, look, Jesus was prepared before the face of all peoples from all nations, past, present, future. God had everyone in mind when he gave Jesus that Christmas morning. Jesus was given to all of us. He was given to bring light of revelation to the Gentiles. He's the glory of Israel. He is for all of us. Do you know him? Have you embraced him? He was a unique gift, wrapped up and given especially for you, individually. It's a missionary hymn. And that's, I love the progression. See, if you wish to see Jesus and you see Jesus, then you praise him. You sing a worship song. You sing a salvation song. You know what else you want to sing? A missionary song. You'll want to tell other people about the significance of Christ. And let me tell you, my brother and sister in Christ, I'm speaking to you this morning. Take this time of the year as an opportunity to spread the word. Amen? Those of you who haven't done your Christmas card yet, like me, put something about Jesus in those cards. Little nugget of truth for your family members all over country. When you have your socials, your events, in the office, or maybe you have a gathering at your house at Christmas time. Hey, use that as an opportunity to point to Jesus. Tell people about him. It's a missionary time of the year. There's all kinds of opportunities. Your wishes come true in meeting Jesus. Wouldn't it be great to be used by the Lord to fulfill the wishes of another person's life? In letting them see Jesus in you and through your life. Simeon is such a wonderful example. It's very clear here that Simeon knew the absolute significance of Jesus, the Lord's Christ. I want you to notice what he calls him back up there in verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He knew that the Messiah would be the consolation of Israel. Consolation meaning comfort. And that Jesus would come and bring great comfort to his people. And he will eventually with Israel. But I have found that this time of the year is one of the most comforting times of the year for me. Because it's at this time of the year that we understand and know that God wants to be near to us. That God has not left us alone. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Think of it, God who would become a baby. That's coming awfully close into the human race, isn't it? Becoming one of us? That's God's heart. He'll do anything to get you. He'll do anything to save you. He wants to draw near to you. Simeon saw him as the consolation of Israel, the great comfort. As we already mentioned, he saw Jesus as the salvation, the means of our salvation, and as our salvation directly. But I want you to notice also what Simeon knew. Simeon knew something else that was very significant about this baby that was born 2,000 years ago. He knew that that baby would end up being the great divider. He knew that that baby would also be like a double-edged sword, piercing people, and piercing people into one of two groups. Look what he says to Mary and Joseph there in verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Guys, listen, the birth of Jesus divides people. Jesus himself divides people. Jesus himself said, I came to bring a sword, and he divides. He separates. As it says there, he will cause many to fall, and he will cause many to rise. The ones that fall are those who reject Christ, who refuse to understand the significance of Christ, and who refuse to receive Christ as the sacrifice for their sins. Those people, in their arrogance and in their foolishness, will fall. And then there are those people that he causes to rise, to soar, to fly. Those are the people who know Jesus, know why he came, know his significance. Those are the people who have embraced Christ and received him into their heart. Which one are you? Are you rising or falling? It says also that he's a sign which will be spoken against. That's another twofold picture of Jesus. A sign in the Greek is a miracle, and that's one way to look at Jesus, obviously. A miracle sent by God, amen? A miracle sent to be our Savior. And many of us in this room have opened our hearts to the miracle. This Greek word also speaks of Jesus being a target which people shoot arrows at. Do you shoot arrows at him? Have you rejected him? Or is he the miracle to you? You're rising and you're falling. Depends upon that. There's sort of a double-edged feeling when it comes to who Jesus is and what he did. sort of like what Mary experienced. It says here that a sword would pierce through her soul also. Imagine being the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine? How full of joy you would be at your little baby. And oh man, I've been called to carry the Messiah. What an incredible thing. But then later to see him hanging on the cross. Oh, the grief and the sorrow. There's that double-edged sword to Jesus. There's the joy that comes with those who embrace him. There's the sorrow that comes with knowing that others reject him. It says the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Jesus does that to a person. What are your thoughts on the matter? Do you know Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Do you know what his significance is? Brother and sister in Christ, maybe you're here this morning and you're not seeing Jesus as clearly as you once did. And maybe you're really not in the Christmas spirit yet. Maybe you haven't got a sight or a glimpse of Jesus. Maybe your life has been just a little dry lately. And maybe you'd really like to see Jesus this Christmas season. I want to give you some insight about Simeon that I think will help you. This will help you get on track if you've gotten off track. And not just for this Christmas season, but for the next year. Look at a couple of characteristics of Simeon very quickly. Again, back in verse 25. Simeon's this wonderful example for us. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. Just is a word that means righteous. He was an upstanding man. He had morals, and he kept them. And you know, if you let sin into your life, my brother and sister in Christ, in an offensive, direct way, that can many times take away from your being able to see Jesus more clearly. If that's you, get that out of your life. Become righteous and moral in his eyes. It also says that he was just and devout, meaning he was a worshiper. Maybe that aspect of your life has been lacking. Maybe Christianity hasn't been about worshiping the Lord lately. Maybe it's been about you. Maybe you've been so caught up in your own life and your own problems and in your own deal that you've forgotten to really worship Jesus. Listen, worshipers of Jesus see Jesus. They get closer to him. It says that he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That implies looking for him, seeking after him. Search for him this season. Search for him this year. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And we know that Simeon was much like a prophet in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit hasn't been poured out yet. It's not the day of Pentecost. Simeon's a prophet. And the Holy Spirit had come upon him like he did with other men in the Old Testament, like David and Elijah. And we know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was given special information. He was given direction. Now, as Christians, all of us have the Holy Spirit, don't we? Are all of us allowing ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? Are you walking by the Holy Spirit? Are you depending upon the Holy Spirit? Psalm 25, verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You want secrets? You want a close relationship with God? You want to see Jesus more clearer? Be like Simeon. Be like Simeon. Devout, just, seeking, walking by the Holy Spirit. And you know, guys, all this at the ripe old age of 113. Did you know tradition says that Simeon was 113 when he finally got to see Messiah? He waited a long time, didn't he? But I think it's so beautiful because it shows that no matter how old you are, your dreams can still come true. No matter how old you are, you can start seeking Jesus now. You can enter into a relationship with Him now. Christmas dreams are not just for kids. Christmas dreams are for all of us, and they all start and end with Christ. Let me exhort you and encourage you this morning. Let Jesus be the center of your celebration and your life in the coming year. Be that man and that woman that says, I will see Jesus. Be that family that says, we will see Jesus. And you know what else? Let Jesus make all your wishes come true. He can. And He will. There are some of you here this morning that are going through tremendous family problems, family issues. And your wish might be, boy, I wish the whole family would get together this Christmas. Maybe some of you are going through financial problems. Maybe some of you are going through health problems. And maybe you just wish and you hope and you dream that all that could be taken care of. Those are important and you can be praying for them. And God may do a work in those areas. But without a doubt, the number one wish at the top of your list should involve you personally and your Lord. You and Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? And your goal needs to be to embrace Jesus this Christmas season. To have Him be number one in your life. And here's why. Listen, if your vertical relationship is good, you can handle anything over here on the horizontal. If your vertical relationship with God is not good, the horizontal can look so bleak. Your life must begin and stay tuned on Jesus and understanding the significance of Him and who He is. I agree with what Michael Card said. All we could ever imagine, could ever hope for, He is. He is the Prince of Peace whose first coming has already transformed society, but whose second coming will forever establish justice and righteousness. And this, and infinitely more, alive in an impoverished baby in a barn. This is what Christmas means. To find in a place where you would least expect to find anything you want, everything you could ever want. Has that become true for you? It's where it all begins and ends. I invite you this morning to see Jesus. To hold tenaciously to Jesus. Jesus makes all our wishes come true right now, and He'll make all of our wishes come true for all of eternity, won't He? In fact, it's been said Christ was content with a stable when He was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. That's just our God. He just gives out. And you have a God this morning who loves you and cares for you. And maybe if you don't know Jesus personally this morning, you need to understand how much God loves you. And the sacrifice that Jesus made. And what He has accomplished. And what is available to you. You have to fight to let Christmas be about Jesus. But let's fight. Amen? Let's raise the banner of our Savior. Let's point people to Him. In the Indian Ocean, there is a Christmas island. An almost lost, isolated speck of land. There's another Christmas island. An equally isolated speck of land, almost lost in the Pacific Ocean. And I want you to know that Christmas is always an island. an island of hope in a world of despair, an island of love in a world of indifference, an island of giving in a self-centered world. And I invite you this season, come to Christmas Island. Come to Christmas and find out what it's all about. And let it be all about Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. Father, help us this morning to fight to let this season be all about you and worshiping you and being close to you. Lord, thank you for reminding us, or maybe even this morning showing us for the first time, the significance of that birth. Thank you that a Savior was born who took our place, who paid the price for our sins. The only motivation of that being love for us. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who's never seen Jesus in this way. And maybe I'm speaking to many of you this morning. Jesus has never been the main event of your Christmas because you've never really seen Jesus as you need to. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, if your eyes have never looked upon salvation, if you can't say this morning that you're a part of the group that's rising, this morning, at this time of the year, you need to get your life right. You need to give your heart to Him. It all begins with Him. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to do that. If that's you, if that's your desire, if the Lord has spoken to you this morning, I'd like you to raise up your hand high right now and don't be bashful. Bless you right there. Anybody else? Bless you. Anybody else would like to raise their hands? I will see Jesus this Christmas. Anyone else? God bless you right here in the front. God bless you right over there on the side and right here. Amen. As you raise your hand, see it as grabbing baby Jesus and embracing him and taking him into your heart. Just like Simeon did. Anybody else this morning? Okay, I'm going to have us all stand now. And as we sing, those of you who raised your hand, you come forward. I'd like to pray with you and speak to you. If you didn't raise your hand and you'd still like to come forward, I'll be up here to receive you. So will Martine.
Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels, all the sound of angels' songs, and all this for a king. We could join and sing all to Christ our King. How constant, how divine, the song of ours will rise. Oh, how constant, how divine, this love of ours will rise, oh.
Still time. The song is not over, and you have the opportunity right now to come forward You know, Jesus died publicly for you before a jeering crowd. You can come publicly before a cheering crowd this morning. Come forward and give your heart to Him. A few more moments.
And turn your gaze to heaven and raise a joyous noise. Hear the sound of salvation from the sound of rescue ones and all this for a king. Angels join.